This ASAP video is brought to you by Team Builder, the online strength and conditioning platform for coaches and their athletes. This is Ed Sicali with Athletic Strength and Power Podcasts, back in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'm with Kim Wood. He's a regular guest on our ASAP podcast. Kim Wood, welcome back to our podcast.
Eddie, I'm glad to be here. We've got our ankles taped. We've been drinking coffee and other caffeine-laced drinks. We have our game faces on for the big games that are starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Oklahoma and Clemson, and then later tonight, Alabama and Michigan State, and I can't wait.
And we're definitely keeping an eye on Ken Manny, the Michigan State strength coach.
We love that man. We love him. We're in the right way.
We love him. Yeah, we go way back with Ken, and you can't be any prouder than to see what's happening with that program.
I taught him everything I know, Ed.
And, no kidding.
I just hope he knows something, but I'm not responsible. But go ahead.
Well, I know you were one of the speakers when he was at
I taught him how to swear, but that's a whole other story.
At his Toledo strength clinic way back in the 90s, you were there.
He was. He's a good guy, and you talk about being there and doing it the right way. But doing it in a big time way, and he's the man right now, baby.
Yeah, he's the man, and they're living the dream down at the Cotton Bowl tonight. We're gonna check that out. Kim, once again, welcome back to our podcast. This is like the Muscle Shoals of folks. Podcasts.
This is we're in my kitchen in Clifton, up by the University of Cincinnati, and. In my kitchen, it's not, other than being a radio studio, I have a jukebox, I have most of my Japanese toy collection is here, I have my Day of the Dead skull collection here, and I have my carved animals from Oaxaca, Mexico here. Knowing how to live, we're living large, we got our game faces on, we're talking... football, we're talking weight training, we're talking Ken Manny. What could be better?
Yeah, let's talk about the National Football League. What have you seen so far this season? What's exciting?
The deal is, what I've seen is you don't want to get caught having to play in Denver.
That's for sure.
we just watched our Bengals, who I thought were a superior team, run out of gas in the second half. Certainly it was due to the altitude, but we got hopes for the playoff. But no, you're talking about the NFL is a great show.
Yeah.
And we're prejudicial towards the Bengals because they're our guys, and we hope they can continue in the playoffs. But regardless, or some people would say irregardless, it's a good show.
Yeah, well, for our listeners who are unfamiliar with Coach Kim Wood, Cincinnati Bengal ties and way back to Paul Brown, and you spent 30 years with the Bengals.
Yeah, I certainly did, and I'm a better man for it. One of the very first strength coaches, and I have to say, Eddie, if you look out there, the game has grown up far beyond me and far beyond what football was when I was involved, and I don't necessarily know if that's a good thing or not. But no, I was one of the originals. I was a veritable legend in my own time. But I still am.
No doubt. And then let's keep an eye on those ratings. The National Football League is one of the most watched things on television.
Well, it controls television. You're talking about almost a third of all the money in the television business is football money, and very close to the NFL is this college playoffs. I mean, who's going to watch a bowl game on New Year's Day? You know, after the big games tonight.
So what are a couple teams to watch in the NFL right now that you're seeing as contenders for the crown?
Let's just put it this way: the NFL is has never been as powerful as it is now, and it's a really entertaining show.
Digress a little bit to the there's a lot of flags, there's a lot of timeouts being called nowadays for
more commercials,
concussion protocols, and things like that. There's a lot going on with this concussion stuff and.
Yeah, it's a violent, violent game. And, of course, when we talk about the football business, especially at the entertainment level, that they are marketing violence, and there's no way you're going to get around it. And I think the NFL is doing a reasonably good job of alerting people to the dangers. They're certainly trying. Again, we're dealing with the vulnerability of the brain. And quite frankly, we started a spot where nobody really understood it as being as vulnerable as it is. And nobody really knows what to do. And I think that the NFL is doing a pretty good job. I think there's pressure at every level. I think that the worst level is the level that I have an expertise in, and that is actually preparing the people physically. And I think that the strength people could do a better job. But I think the people relative to the rules and the concussion protocol, the medical aspect, I think that they're doing a better job than they've ever done.
And certainly your clinics over the years have, you know, done a lot to bring this into the forefront as far as the training, as much training as possible to avoid, you know.
Well, we've touched some significant people with in this, some of the better programs. But the point is that in football as a whole, we're just scratching the surface. And again, the emphasis on our clinics, Eddie, is that there are preparation things which can be done, because don't forget, there's kind of a fatalistic thing. This new movie, Concussion, and some of the other attitudes are such that you can't prevent, or only rule changes can prevent the physical problems with the brain, and I don't think that that's true.
Coach, I haven't seen that movie yet, but what's your movie review on that? What'd you see? What's your take?
I think it certainly deals with some of the big questions. I think they do it in a kind of a Hollywood way. I think that they're shooting for an Academy Award for this character, Will Smith, who does a reasonably good job. I don't know if they really face the issues, though. I think that people will go away with feeling that, boy, you don't want to play football. And I don't necessarily think that's the correct attitude. I think that some of the scandals were revealed, and they really, you know, that they do a good job with that. I just think that it's just a piece of understanding the problems, and it's just a piece of a very small part about what you should do about the problem. Again, it's something. I think that it'll be viewed as more valuable than by many people than what it really is. But because, like I say, I think that there are physical things that can be done as far as preparing people to play football at a high level, and not end up with the brain problems. And I don't think it's an inevitable thing. And the bottom line, and with the film is it kind of. It kind of sloughs off any idea that brain problems can be prevented.
Coach, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was watching the NFL Network, and they had an incredible story on Paul Brown and what he meant to professional football. You worked for him for I don't know how many years, but
It was. I thought I saw that special, and it was awesome. It's great because for years I've been telling people it was awesome to work for the guy. Now other people who wouldn't have the experience get kind of a that view. And but no, it was a treat to work for the man, and he did it, and he was competitive, and he definitely did things the right way.
If we could take one thing from Paul Brown and share it with our listeners. What is it?
Well, his whole thing, and I've mentioned it before on these podcasts, it was his whole deal when it came to anything that you do, and that is you strive to do it the best you can do and to do it well. And he had that view of, I think he had that view of life itself, but he definitely had that, he brought that view to football, and that is that be a true professional, know what you're doing at all times, and prepare. No, he was hard to work for because you were always accountable, and a lot of people don't like that. But at the same time, is that he was. You know, Al Davis used to talk about the concept of commitment to excellence. You know, and that was Al's thing, but really that was Paul Brown's thing, and Paul Brown influenced all the successful people that followed him. Modern football. He's really the father of modern football.
Yeah, what we're seeing here, just to entertain our listeners on this kitchen of yours here, where we're doing the recording.
Kitchen. Yeah. Where we are.
Yeah, where the recording is being made. You know, you couldn't film a diner's drive-in and dive recording in here. There's too much stuff in here. There's CDs, there's movies, there's boxes, there's books.
It's kind of, this is the holiday season, and it's, you know, if I didn't have the barbells and the dumbbells and the kettlebells here, maybe we could get, have a little more room, but no, this is, a lot of things go on in this kitchen.
Well, there's one, and, there's, it's one of the few places.
I like this kitchen.
It's one of the few kitchens that you're going to, you know, be able to do a kettlebell and, pull up a song on the jukebox all at the same time.
Yeah, no, and, you know. I get as far as life skills, Ed, I get a lot out of this kitchen.
And you know, you could you entertain me with some Gid Tanner today, old timey's favorite band.
Yeah,
what's that?
Gid Tanner and the Skillet Lickers. Yeah, that we got. As Ed has probably mentioned in other podcasts, I'm an aficionado of American music. Well, actually, European music too. And with all kinds of music. And so, I, along with everything else, we got piles and piles of CDs and records. And this is a lot goes on in this kitchen. And
besides boiling water,
I'm limited with my cooking abilities to do coffee, and it's unfortunately it's like instant coffee, and but it's really good.
Yeah, I figured you'd have some Starbucks or some Pete's laying around here, but it's Nescafe or something like that.
Maxwell House. It's good to the last drop, Ed.
And let's talk about Rick Court going to Maryland.
Well, I tell you this: there is a game behind the game, and people are aware. The people in the business, in the strength business and strength coaches, the fabulous facilities at Oregon, the University of Oregon, that Nike pretty much has provided the best of everything. Well, Nike's got some, Nike ain't the only game in town, let's put it that way. I had a good friend of mine who now coaches with the Dolphins, Mark Duffner, was at one time the head coach at the University of Maryland, and a couple of his football players came up with, I think they started in some kind of fancy cooling T-shirts, some goofy thing, but it became Under Armour, who has now given Nike a run for their money. And the word on the street is that the new facilities that will be developed at the University of Maryland, okay, will rival the Nike facilities at the University of Oregon.
Interesting.
And so we're talking about Rick Court, and he's certainly one of the top strength coaches in the business, a really no-nonsense guy, but a really solid guy. And he's going to lead the dance out there, and I think they're going to have a strength program that you're going to hear a lot about. And it's going to be, the Under Armour people go first class, and I think they're going to have a situation that's really special.
And apparently they've already got a ton of Rogers equipment coming in.
I heard you hear all kinds of things, but it'll be a state-of-the-art for training college athletes, and that's great.
Maryland
that's
great. Terrapins, great.
That's great. Now, you got to understand, Ed, that there's a concept, and you mentioned Paul Brown, that he talked about, one of the great criticisms of somebody that they would say, well, the game has passed them by. My situation is I was one of the very first strength coaches, and we did it with a whole lot less, and I didn't get paid a heck of a lot of money. I thought it was great, but we're talking about now it's a big time deal, and I don't always understand or I don't find it easy to relate to some of the facilities that the college situations and even the pro situations have. And, they're huge facilities with lots and lots of equipment. And I'm kind of like, even though I was, a pro guy and, an innovator, I'm kind of like in the situation I think that most people involved in strength training are really in, and that is they don't have fabulous facilities and have unlimited equipment. That I'm kind of in the boat that probably your average high school coach is, and that you're limited in space, you're limited in equipment, and that was the best I could do. I mean, people, if they saw how big the let's put it this way, the weight room I had at our training facility, Spinney Field, wasn't a hell of a lot bigger than the kitchen we're sitting in now.
Yeah, but
and it didn't have as enough weights as I have in the kitchen.
Yeah, but your home gym out back there would rival a lot of really cool training facility.
It makes up for in quality rather than size. But we're talking about that, you know, we both go up to the Michigan State Clinic. Ken Manny's
every year.
His facilities and the facilities at Michigan State and the facilities at Michigan. You're very familiar with the facilities that they have at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. These are awesome. I mean, I have a tough time relating to all of it. Yeah. But the point is that, but my job is, how do you get people stronger? And I think those facilities are great. Part of the whole thing that I always like to talk about and something that I think about, and that is the concept in coaching of resourcefulness and how that applies to strength coaching and how you can get a lot done without a lot of fancy equipment. And, you know, I'm kind of an artifact from the past. Because
old school.
That was I'm about as old school. I mean, the best workouts I ever had weren't even in the weight room at Spinney Field. It was when they were redoing Spinney Field, and we had a couple of barbells and a machine or two in a hallway. And we got the best workouts we ever had there, because the whole concept was doing the best you can do without very much, without the fancy equipment. But
work hard, hard training.
Hard training and knowing what you're doing. And again, those Paul Brown values were what guided me. But like I say, I'm kind of lost. I'd be lost. I wouldn't know what to do with some of these facilities. I go at Michigan State, and that place is so big. I mean, I'm just in awe. I mean, I'm walking around like a rube.
Like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, walking into stuff. And my whole deal is getting the most out of very little. That's certainly an artifact of the past.
Well, I'm sure you'd be okay. Old school meets new school, and then you'd settle in.
I'm afraid I'm really old school, but it's still the basics. And like I say, and the good thing about people like Ken Manny and Rick Court, we're talking about these fabulous facilities, that even though they have unlimited stuff, they're still well-schooled in the basics, and you don't drift too far from the basics.
Right.
If you do, you get real silly real fast.
Yeah, I mean, once you get away from the whole idea of the facility and the glitter and the gold, once you get down to the brass tacks of the actual training.
Well, I think it's basic stuff.
All right, Coach. Well, once again, thanks for joining us for this ASAP podcast.
Like I say, people say, well, what are you going to do on New Year's Eve? There's only one word I can tell you. Football. I certainly wish everybody out there a happy new year. And we're going to be we got some big plans for some podcasts. We're pulling in some technology of our own. We're talking drone technology.
We're going out to look at some drones right now.
We're going right now. We're going to leave the kitchen. We're going out to the front yard, and we're going to kick some ass for the new year.
And we're going to listen to a little Git Tanner.
A little Git Tanner and the Skillet Lickers and maybe some Fruit Yard Drinkers.
Thanks again, Coach.
Thank you.